Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel. I am joined here today on this Thursday by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by, spending some time with our listeners, our clients. As always, a lot to talk about. So great to have you with us here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan. Good to be back with you.
Shane, a few topics we'll want to cover with our listeners on this week's episode. I recall to earlier this week, we did see the U.S. and world leaders gather in Washington, D.C. for the funeral services of late South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Among them were Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as Ukrainian President Zelensky. Now, both leaders met separately with President Trump as geopolitical tensions in the respective regions persist. Any indication as to what those meetings or conversations consisted of?
Yeah, both meetings with President Trump ended with people saying they were good meetings and productive. So, you know, that's maybe the start level. When you drill down into them, we kind of know general topics that were discussed, but not exact details. With Prime Minister Netanyahu, you know, obviously the pathway forward with Iran was discussed. You know, as President Trump is trying to figure out what his next steps are, you know, he and Netanyahu talked about really three main options, which are reaching a deal with Iran, two, continuing the naval blockade as a way of trying putting increasing economic pressure on Iran, and then three, which is resuming and intensifying military strikes. I don't think any conclusions or, you know, decisions were made from this conversation, but it was interesting to say the least, because, you know, usually when Netanyahu comes to the White House, it's a very big event that draws a lot of fanfare, if you will. And this was a bit quieter and muted. So, you know, I think that says something for the Trump-Netanyahu relationship, but they were, you know, all smiles for the cameras. On Ukraine, you know, it seems like President Trump is warming up to Ukrainian President Zelensky. You know, they continue to talk about defensive measures for Ukraine, you know, missiles to try and protect as Russia continues to go on the offensive against Ukraine. Additionally, you know, they talked about ways for to go forward in diplomatic negotiations to see if there's any way to resume those talks and to the point where they may be able to produce some kind of ceasefire. I think, you know, President Trump is starting to, you know, hedge away from Putin, especially as, you know, Putin reportedly is giving you know, information to the Iranians about where to strike U.S. bases with up-to-date, you know, satellite images and intelligence. So, you know, I think that has soured President Trump on Putin a little bit. And also the fact that Ukraine is continues to stand the ground and push hard back and repel Russian advances, as well as occasionally strike within Russia. So, you know, a lot of interesting developments, but I don't think, you know, we walk away from these meetings with, you know, hardcore answers to what is next.
Those meetings happening as geopolitical tensions around the world flaring up once again. The following day, following a brief pause, the U.S. indicated it once again resumed strikes against Iran, with the scope of the conflict at this point expanding wider across the region. Other nations are getting involved in the offensive, and as we're speaking, developments remain quite fluid. What was the catalyst for the U.S. resuming strikes earlier this week, and with everything that's been happening over the past 48 hours, Shane, how do you see this all progressing near term?
Yeah, I think last time we talked, the U.S. was in the midst of a, I think, 13-day campaign of strikes on Iran. And then they hit the pause button, and the pause lasted a few days, but was resumed with these this kind of surprise attack by Iran on U.S. bases in the region. And that has propelled President Trump to retaliate against Iran, right? And to your larger point, there is some concern that now what is kind of a localized military campaign may be widening, as you've seen some of Iran's neighbors have their own attacks on Iran. But also, you know, what just happened with this drone strike in Egypt on fuel supplies is a real threat to widening the war. Last I've seen is that, you know, no conclusive conclusion about who was behind this drone strike on Egypt, although, you know, it is potentially maybe Iran or one of their proxies, like the Houthis or Hezbollah, which, you know, may solidify some of these nations in the region and their tacit support for the U.S. and maybe make it more formal support for the U.S. in pushing back in Iran. So, you know, I think we're at this moment on a path towards resuming the war between U.S. and Iran with, you know, some of the neighbors being more involved. However, you know, I think, you know, you always have to keep in mind this could be part of a Trumpian negotiation where, you know, he ratchets up the pressure to then seek for another round of negotiations. So I think it's fluid for the coming days, but it can, I think, at this point go either way, to the point of, you know, one side of the equation being a full resumption of hostilities to the other side, which would be, you know, negotiations producing some kind of ceasefire.
It's been quite fascinating to witness the evolution of these negotiations, the dynamics there, and of course remains very fluid. So we'll continue to keep our eyes on these developments and keep our listeners informed along the way. To close out for this week, Shane, maybe if we come back stateside, turn over to Capitol Hill with the Senate recess at this point set for August 7th. So coming up quick, the House of Representatives had departed back on July 24th. What legislative work remains outstanding at this point up on Capitol Hill? And may we see lawmakers remain in Washington to work through these roadblocks?
Yeah, I think, you know, realistically, what can the Senate accomplish between now and the 7th, which is just over a week from now, is, you know, some smaller things like nominations. You know, it appears that the nomination for Attorney General may have stalled for the moment, but there are other nominations that the Senate can deal with, you know, like things at HHS, Department of Labor, et cetera. So I think that will be a focus. Additionally, you know, before the House left, they passed a continuing resolution, a CR for short, and which would fund government operations from October 1st to the first 2 days of December. So the Senate may be looking to follow that. They would likely change this legislation in some way, meaning that the House would have to vote on it again at some point before the end of September, or else we would be faced with another government shutdown. So I think those two items are, you know, top of mind. However, to your point, there are a number of other issues that that are out there that the Senate could take up. One notable would be the SAVE Act, which is that voter integrity bill that the President Trump supports, and he's pushing the Senate hard to pass. He has called upon them to stay in session throughout August until they pass it, which I don't think will happen. There is not enough support for the bill. So, you know, I think the Senate's going to leave D.C. before they pass that. But when they come back, they may bring that up again, and they have a long list of other things to take care of. You know, reconciliation, which the House already passed, which has some $95 billion in it for defense, aid to farmers, and funding for the SAVE Act. You know, that the Senate last week just passed a Russian sanctions bill, so the House has to deal with that. There's the possibility of the Clarity Act, which is the digital asset market structure bill that is important to many in the kind of digital asset space. So there are a number of things going on, a lot of balls in the air. But I think, you know, realistically, we have to set expectations low and, you know, think that between now and the election, it's going to be some smaller items that Congress deals with. And most notably, it'll be trying to avert a government shutdown on October 1st.
No shortage of agenda items for Congress, as always seems to be the case. And it sounds like a lot of these priorities we'll be talking about in September and look forward to doing that. Shane, thank you very much for dropping by on this Thursday for this week's episode. I know we'll be taking a pause for the series next week, but we will be returning later in the month of August to keep our listeners and our clients informed on these important topics. So thank you again, Shane, for your time and look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan. I hope everyone gets some vacation in and a little rest, but I look forward to joining you again soon.
Definitely. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. As always, I do like to point out to you, our listeners, and especially our clients of UBS, the latest Washington Weekly publication is now available for you to reference on the website ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.